in today's celebration of the Sunday Mass. We've heard two passages from the New Testament, one from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, the other from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the Gospel that in so many ways was underlined, inspired, admired in the writing by the Holy Mother of God herself. And there are two points, one in each passage, that are very important, but perhaps very rarely made the subject of a sermon on Sunday morning. The second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, from the conclusion of the first chapter. In a major part of that chapter, St. Paul has praised the Colossians for their great growth in holiness, their realization of the wonderful goods that they had received, the stupendous hopes that had been guaranteed to them. St. Paul was concerned that at a certain point, particularly under persecution, pressures of one kind or another, not just in those days, those things happened in the present time. That's why he says this particular passage, the most important one, because it indicates, as St. Paul says that I must, as it were, sacrifice to fill up what is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus, in his work to save us, make open for us the gates of heaven. And in the last 500 years, there's been so much talk by those who don't exactly agree with the teaching of the Church, the interpretation of the Gospels, an unwillingness to see, to listen to the position of St. Paul, so often said Christ alone, he's the only Redeemer. Not even Our Lady can have an active role there, simply as where he does everything or nothing is done. That is the point, as it were, that our Lord, he could have done everything, but he together with the Heavenly Father had seen that it was a much more beneficial for our thing if at a certain point we could also cooperate with the Redeemer by us sharing his suffering and by making reparation for sin, as he made reparation for our sins. What is lacking to this to the suffering of Jesus? Not the success he had in breaking open once again the gates of heaven, of the heavenly paradise, and making available to us, beginning with baptism, of all those stupendous sources of comfort, of joy, of happiness that begin with our baptism, our second birth, and our introduction to the kingdom of heaven. That is what St. Paul is talking about, and it seems, as it were, to me to be a very reasonable thing. Our Lord did all that he could do in his own line, but he also wants us, as it were, in some way to cooperate. Our Lady, in a very unique way, as the maternal mediatrix of all the graces that come to us from the sacrifice of Jesus. That was a point reiterated by Pope Benedict XVI about 7 years ago in Brazil, and he told the bishop, yes, all these projects that you have are great, but there's one thing you must be certain, that in all of them you involve Our Lady, because no blessing won by Christ for us comes to us except through the intervention of Our Lady. It's a thing that is very necessary, because if we don't do that and rely only on our own personal cooperation with Jesus, we shall be much misled. He won't have anything to do with us. He won't recognize us unless, as it were, we are the children of Mary. That's the first point we want to call into mind here. But in a more particular way, making reparation for those who have been baptized, for me, for you. Are we perfect? Are we ready for canonization? Is it impossible for us to commit a serious sin because we become discouraged, because we don't believe anymore in the hopes that Jesus has given to us? It sure is. All you got to do is look out the window and you'll see what I'm talking about. And he said, necessarily for me and for you who see these things happening, having to redouble our efforts, as Our Lady asked at Fatima, for instance, but not only in Fatima, reparation for the sins of others. Not so that you will be condemned, but precisely because us in applying the merits of Christ to them in this way, right, by sharing ourselves in that suffering, not asking them to give us any glory, but to, as it were, be brought back, as it were, to the company of Jesus, to be active members of the kingdom of God, God on where it begins, on earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Not because there is no kingdom of God in heaven, it surely is there, but it is amongst us. Have we been introduced in such wise that we can live on the basis of that stupendous hope? The first virtue that was mentioned in the, is an interesting point. St. Bonaventure makes that point also, the importance of hope, the living hope, and not to lose one's hope in the cross. And in all that Jesus has done and will continue to do, but not only Jesus, but so many others praying, doing penance, being available to answer this question or that question. So that's the first point. Fill up what is lacking of the sufferings of Jesus. That doesn't mean that Jesus was imperfect, that he didn't do everything that he was supposed to do and only he could do. He did all those things. But there's also a need for us to do what we can do, to be associated with him, to help those, as it were, who are in the midst, who see, as it were, what great joy has been brought to us and to our families by living the life that Jesus has won for us, a life that never ends. Even though we die, we will live. How often we hear Our Lord's assertion concerning Holy Communion, the consummation of all of these sacraments. Who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood will not die. I will raise him up on the last day. Our Lord is not denying physical death. He's saying it's not the final thing as far as your life is concerned, because you have a life that never ends. It cannot be touched by all of these persecutions. That is the basis of our hope. It is very objective. But we want at first to keep that always in mind and to recognize that what was true almost 100 years ago in 1917, the need for reparation, in particular reparation for the offenses to Our Lady, is still very much needed, as it has always been needed, but especially in our time. So that's the first point I want to call to your attention. Filling up what was lacking. There's always some lacking. That means there is some need for me to cooperate, for you to cooperate in these things. That the life at the foot of the cross is a very, very central aspect of the life that has been given to us by our Lord in baptism. That even though you should die, you will continue to live in a way more glorious, and I will raise you up on the last day. Do not worry. You will not lose your body. I mean the body that was really prepared for you, not another facsimile. Number one. Then we want to go on to examine the gospel passage of Saint Luke. There's a kind of a parallel between Luke and Paul. They were good friends, and very often, as it were, the interviews which Saint Luke had with Our Lady, especially for the infancy narrative, they very much conditioned the way in which Saint Paul presents the gospel. The mystery of salvation to all of us. Do not separate Luke and Mark. But that's another subject. Here we want to ask for that little discourse between Martha, Mary, and Jesus. Jesus came in with his, not just one person. There were the apostles and the other disciples. There was quite a crowd of people. And the ladies had to, as it were, as in practically all times, including the present time, and they, as it were, prepare the great dinner, the survey, organize all of these things. Nothing new under the sun. And it's nothing new under the sun to, as it were, politely plain to Lord, tell Mary to do a little work here. This is a big mob I'm serving. And our Lord, as we didn't deny the request, but there were St. Luke and obviously others were trying to underscore the importance of this point. Mary has chosen the better part, and that will not be deprived. It will not be deprived. What is the better part to always choose? Jesus. Even when we have to share his suffering, it is the better part. It doesn't mean that we don't do the other work, that we don't wash the dishes, that we won't wash the clothing, that we don't shovel snow in the winter time to make a path out to the main highway, and a host of other things that makes living interesting and, in a certain sense, worthwhile. But there's something still more important, a recognition that in the midst of all these other activities, there is one central one. The effort to become a saint in order to enjoy the bliss of heaven. We are not really fully human until we have joined not simply another form of life, but a form of life that brings happiness. And the only happiness that comes in this sense, in this permanent sense, is the happiness that Jesus brings us. There is no other savior. There is no other salvation. Nonetheless, once again, we see we help, we cooperate in so many ways. We help, as it were, prepare a banquet for someone who is being married, someone who is celebrating the 50th anniversary. There we have people nowadays, as it were, they're celebrating 75th, 80th, and so forth. Same thing for priests. And it's a natural inclination of everyone, as it were. What are we going to do to celebrate this? Not, as it were, to make just one person the celebrant, but everybody take part in the joys of this occasion, and a kind of renewal of our consciousness of what we are awaiting and why we will not be disappointed if we remain united to Jesus, if our hopes remain living hopes, active hopes, powerful hopes. This is what our Lord meant, and it will not be taken from her. That means I will not take her. If we don't get to heaven, it's because we don't want to get there. And then it's a little too late if we arrive in the other place. I won't mention it here, but you all know what I'm talking about. Here we want to emphasize this morning the importance of always choosing the better part. The better part is Jesus. And if I mention, as it were, in the first remarks, baptism, the beginning of our life with Jesus, it's a moment to mention this remark of our Lord in view of Holy Communion. It is precisely where we choose in a very definitive way that which is most to be desired, to always have the company of Jesus, even when it involves suffering for Jesus and with him. We will never, as it were, be disappointed, because who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood will not die. I will raise him up on the last day. Ask Our Lady always to help you to remember these two points, the one that St. Paul meant to fill up what is lacking to the suffering, to the cross of Jesus, that is the application of those blessings to us, and by way of a continuation of what Our Lady does, she's involved in each one of these things, and the other, to always prefer the better part. Jesus is the better part, and if we are true to him, we will have no difficulty anticipating the stupendous joys that the Father has prepared for those who have been faithful to his dear Son. Praise be Jesus and Mary.